There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to the 457th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your dum-dum host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my very, very smart co-host, Dr. Shamu.
Hello, hello.
We call him Doctor for a reason. That's why he's very, very smart. And then we've also got R Sigma, who's legitimately very, very smart.
Howdy.
All right. And so welcome to the Puckle Podcast, the place where we talk everything Pokemon, from the video game to the trading card game. We are the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. The Royal We. By the Royal We, I mean mostly me. I don't know why we've kept it. Branding, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's why we're stuck with it, guys. We're in too deep.
It's just kind of stuck, and now it gets to be jokes whenever we talk about Fire Emblem.
Yes. Fine. Yes. Yes, it does. Fiacle, okay? Fiacle. That's what it is. All right. Welcome to the show. I wasn't on last week, unfortunately. Thank you to Whimsicott and the gang for holding down the fort last week. While I was gone, my father-in-law was in town and I wanted to spend time with him. I would just like to, let me take a moment and just say, like, I appreciate the people who also help run the show on top of me. Like, it is a huge team effort and I feel like I don't say that enough. And so, like, I really do appreciate everybody who does that, because it's nice to be able to, like, I think up until like the last 2 years, like I wasn't really leaning into like the Thatchless episodes as much as I should have. And it's been very nice to be able to take like a few weeks off every year.
Mm.
It's going to happen again in like a month. So get ready for that, fans. as Thatch journeys to the magical land of the West Coast.
Yeah, at least it's only supposed to be like a week next time, right?
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, no, it's only one. It's only one.
Yeah. It's not like the Japan trip.
Yeah, oh yeah, the Japan trip wasn't that long either. I wasn't gone that long.
It was only 2 weeks, I think.
I think I took 2 weeks off because I had to prep for the trip on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when I go, it'll be another thing where, like, we record on, like, a Tuesday or something, or a Friday, or a Thursday or a Friday, that's what I mean, instead of our normal Saturday recording time. So it won't be too bad. It's just 1 week where I'm gone. Yeah, when I went to Japan, it was a little bit more intensive, I would say. That's my worry.
Well, it was right at the height of news season, so it wasn't too hard to have something
that's
to talk
true
about.
That's true. I thought they did an excellent job last week. I'm a little annoyed I didn't get to talk about Mega Evolution and how it's everywhere but the main game. So I mean, that's probably the extent of my complaints. I also think it was horribly mismanaged in Pokemon Go.
They're trying to fix it.
I saw that today, by the way, that they tried to fix Mega Evolution. I'm not sure. Pete McKee's actively updating the doc as we go.
It's okay. There's nothing else this week.
But I saw on Reddit they were trying to do that. They're going to try to fix Mega Evolution. Well, fix. I'm putting fix in quotes. Like, they lowered it by like 5 Mega Evolution energy for Beedrill or something.
They lowered it 20%. So it was like 5 for Beedrill and 10 for the starters or something.
None of that makes me feel better.
So how did that exactly work? Because I'm kind of like, I understand you need to get mega energy from doing mega raids, if I understand
raids, but
right.
They're adding like walking or something too.
None of this feels good.
But so it's like mega energy, like so you use 20 of it, it's gone forever, and you,
yes,
like, you have to do it each time you mega evolve?
Yes.
Oh my god, no.
It's like candy, but worse.
Why would they just not, like, I would rather them just say, hey, get a whole bunch of it, and here's this item that you just, like, lock to a Pokemon, and if you want to get a different one, you have to just, like,
you have to do it again.
Do it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to make it, hey, reduce it by half, and then that, for every time, it's like, it's that half, it's that reduction of the, like...
I think that's how it kind of works. It's like, there's an ignition cost, and then there's yes. a repeat cost.
So ignition costs more than repeat.
Yeah. And that's what I get here, but I'm just saying, like, the fact that you have to do it each and every time, even, like, mm-hmm. even if, I'm saying, like, you make the pay the big cost once per Pokemon, and that way that Pokemon you have is will always be able to Mega Evolve.
The thing that gets me is it just feels like Pokemon Go's done this in the past, and I don't think people have cut them some slack, minus like the really hardcore community, especially when like a lot of their events were just like, oh, you can hatch this Pokemon from a 7K egg, haha.
Maybe.
So like that's always been an issue where they're just like, oh, to play Pokemon Go and like get your best chances, you need to buy incubators, right? And so now this is just another way for them to go, oh, you should buy remote raid passes, you should buy raid passes in general.
Yeah, I think it would have gone a lot better if the free raid pass also counted as a remote raid pass. Like,
I absolutely agree with you. I think the free raid pass should also act as a remote raid pass.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in like terms of COVID. I think like at least making it should have been there for like the first couple of months, and then they can like take it away or whatever. Say like, hey, it's gone. Like, this is promotional for like a few months, and then it's gone.
Yeah, like people would be more okay with that. It's like, oh,
yes. I think until, like, COVID's over, it'd be a cool thing to do. Like, how they were doing the free boxes that I'm a little upset they got rid of.
They have the, like, bad free boxes still around where it's like, hey, you get, like, four random items that are a potion, a Pokeball, or a Great Ball. It's like,
It's not bad. It's not as good as, like, here's, like, 20 Great Balls.
Mm-hmm. I forgot that the one thing I did like just booting up, and it's like, oh, here are the random Pokemon for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's really cool now. It's really cool. I like that.
Especially when it's something, like, I don't have, and it's like, oh, this thing is higher than my level. This is actually a challenge.
I really appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to, like, the daily coins, too, but...
Yeah.
I'm still, like, in trial in Australia or something.
I'm okay with it staying there. but that's just me. I mean, I know you, and I think that's, like... You and I have very similar opinions about everything, Sigma. I think minus mm-hmm. that. I think like that's the one place where we diverge. Like, I don't mind gyms. I don't mind like throwing something in a gym.
I don't like the timer-based gyms.
I'm at your area might be like more active or something like that.
My town's a college campus, so.
Yeah, there's your problem. Okay. I found your problem. yeah, like for me it's not bad because it's just like, ah, we get to go to the Victor's Tacos and we get to pick up the gym.
Mm.
And that's it. And then nobody else really comes to bother it for like the next 8 hours, and then I get my coins. So it's barely an issue for me for the gyms, but like I can understand if you have a college campus, like yeah, that's awful.
A lot of the gyms are student dorms. So.
Never mind. Yep, that's the worst. That is in fact the worst. I guess I would ask you guys what you've been doing in Pokemon lately, but I know it's Final Fantasy 14.
No, we've been doing stuff in Pokemon.
Yeah, actually,
very monotonous
yeah.
stuff.
Oh, tell me more.
I've been hatching Silicobra, and
oh my
pretty
gosh.
Sure Shamu's been walking into Wooloo.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are you trying to proc like the official like shiny thing, like the shiny chance, like by killing 500 or whatever?
Not 500, yeah. 400, because 500 bugs it out.
Okay. Yeah, I heard there.
So
bugs
I'm running around with 400, like 10 killed, trying to get a shiny Wooloo. And I think the worst part is like not recently, but when I was doing this the first time. I found two shinies back to back that were Squawvet and Rookidee.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that was heart crushing. I just stopped for a while.
This is Squirvanite's
cool.
This is a really good like intro discussion to the topic today, but I don't want to.
It is. Yeah.
Because like I have a lot of issues just with like the shiny hunting. I'm gonna put that in quotes. Hunting methods in Gen 8 because they're definitely non-existent. And I just have issues with that. I think that people can say like that, you complain about Sword and Shield all the time, but like if they're like, well, no, I don't think this would be the sword I would die on, the hill I would die on. I'd die on definitely a different hill. But this is a smaller issue I have with it, because like I think it would be really cool if they were just like, hey, here's something like the Dex Nav or like the Poke Radar, something that requires like just like a little bit of skill, just like a little bit.
I mean, they couldn't even bother bringing back the chaining from Let's Go.
Yeah. Right? Like, that's all I want. I want something like that. I think just KOs is dumb.
Well, it wouldn't be so bad if it was actually working as it should be.
Yes. I that makes it worse.
If it wasn't, like, a third of the time it works.
That makes it worse. But yeah, I definitely agree with you. But before we break into today's topic, let's take a let's cut it here, and then we're going to kick it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things to talk about, none of which are exciting. The first one is the Wild area has shifted and is now promoting electric and grass type Pokemon, including Toxtricity, Flapple, and Appleton. Ooh, exciting. I mean, this is actually better than I think the last one, personally.
I mean, it's more fun to kill them.
Yes.
Yeah, about it.
The event will run until September 30th. Keep an eye out for the weekend of the 11th to 13th for a potential special raid. It has occurred this time over the last 2 months. So keep that in mind. I don't know. I still feel like they blew their load on like the raids. Like they really front loaded it. And then they had no thoughts.
The soup hurts it the most. If I'm going to be honest. The soup.
Yeah.
Gigantamax soup.
Yeah, that really ruined it.
I think them putting all... I still think this is evidence that like the DLC was planned... after Swish, like way after Swish, like some of the ideas they were throwing into the DLC, like I think the soup is part of that. I think it was like, yes, maybe we should do that because people realize that Gigantamax is kind of dumb, but this is kind of how we're going to push raids. Well, now how do we push raids? I don't know. You know what would have been really cool? You know, like, you know how cool it would have been if they would have tied in like mega raids on top of like in game on top of like the launch in Pokemon Go. That would have been really cool,
like even if you couldn't use them yourself.
Yeah,
just having them in game battling you.
Yeah, no, I think that would like I am all for more like boss like raids.
Do it for rewards,
you know what I mean?
Like Mewtwo and stuff.
The Mewtwo and the Zeraora I thought were done well. Like I love being able to hang out in voice chat on Discord and just plan something for an hour with people.
Yeah, Zeraora felt that they realized their mistakes with Mewtwo.
Yes, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I think those are the coolest kinds of raids, and I hope they keep doing those.
I would expect one like when Crown Tundra eventually releases again.
Well, Crown Tundra like comes out with like its own type of raid thingamajigger for the legendaries or whatever.
No, I'm just thinking they probably do a mythical raid again, just like they did with Zeraora.
I hope so. Warmer. That'd be really cool.
Like maybe Victini or something. That would be exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting.
You know, like, all they have to do, though, is just, like, introduce Pokemon that have, like, a special move. Like, hey, here's a Blastoise with, I'm trying to think. Like, some, like, not that one work, but, I'm just trying to think of, like, a move that it would normally get, but, like...
Yeah, event moves would be interesting.
Yeah, event moves.
I'm not sure how competitive
moves.
They'd be.
That would be pretty hype, actually.
Give people a reason to play again.
Okay, hear me out. This is a terrible but good idea. You bring back some of the moves that they called when Sword and Shield came out as moves that some of these Pokemon can learn, right? Like, a lot of Pokemon lost knockoff as in their move pool, right? You bring back a Pokemon that used to have knockoff that doesn't anymore, and that's the way that they can get it is through a raid.
I think what you'd have to do, though, is, like, after the event, is have, like, a small update that adds that as an egg move as well.
Mm-hmm.
So then people who missed the event can still get it.
Yeah. Right? I also think they should be able to... I think that, like, even, like, Hidden Power can come back in that way, so it's more limited.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that, like, we can still have Hidden Power, because I honestly think a meta without Hidden Power with a Garchomp and a Landorus showing back up...
It's kind of scary.
...is a scary meta. Like, I'm really scared of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would even just say, like, just a fun move and stuff to give a reason to raid. It doesn't have to be possible by egg. Like, the one I found, like, not Phantom Force, is it Shadow Force? Phantom Force? Whatever. Like, Giratina's move on Decidueye or something like that, you know? Like, just give them some, like, random things. Have fun with
Help Decidueye out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just giving things random moves, kind of. Not too outrageous, but just... Because I like Colosseum moves were fun. They had some
jank, oh, yeah.
But those are like, why did you have this? This is great. Even if it's like...
Yes, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. I think it's a really cool prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, a lot of Sword and Shield mons kind of don't get the best egg moves. Some do.
Yes.
But a lot of them are shorted.
I get what they were going for in Sword and Shield when they were, like, quote-unquote simplifying the meta. But now that they're, like, now that the meta's kind of coming back to where it was, like, I do fear Crown Tundra's meta.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of have to go back to the old way to an extent because we're bringing back the old Pokemon. And like I said, I'm very worried about Landorus. Like, Dynamax Landorus sounds like a terrible, terrible thing.
Oh, yeah, no, you only need to run Scarf at that point. Or you can, mm-hmm. and if you can run Scarf, or then you can just go Max Air
yep.
Stream.
Get, and then go big, yep.
You get Max Knuckle, you get Max Air Stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lando. it's a terrifying prospect. I am a little worried. But yeah, I think Raid, I mean, obviously, like, the way I think Raid should have been done, it should have been handled, was we'll, like, drip feed you new Pokemon via them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way it should have been handled. I think it was a missed opportunity because they're obviously doing it in retrospect, right? Mm-hmm. With the DLC. And I guess that's kind of what they're doing. Like, it's just like, hey, here are all the Pokemon from this DLC in these raids now.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree. But we'll see. Let's move on to the next news bullet because we spent 6 minutes on the first one. This is you, Sigma. You're green today.
Oh, I'm green. Okay.
Yeah.
Not surprising to anyone, Ash's Pikachu did not evolve in the most recent anime episode, but Go caught a Pikachu and it evolved. So that's a fake out.
Yeah. I mean, Tank, like, posted that, like, in a, I got asked that, like, by three different groups of people. Like, oh my gosh, I saw that Ash's Pikachu might evolve. Do you think they're going to do it? I'm like, I don't know. They've only used this plot point 10 times. And I do not know if it will not evolve. And so I am very unsurprised. I'm like, yeah, it's probably just going to be something with some other Pikachu.
It's like, are we removing the mascot from the anime?
No.
Why would you?
I mean, it's the same thing that, like, everybody's like, oh, they're going to pass the torch to Go from Ash. And it's like, no, they're not. No, they're not. Stop.
I think they're just trying to make, like, the Go community more relatable. Relate to it, I guess.
I think the thing that the Pokemon company's been trying to do, and semi-unsuccessfully, has been trying to convert Go players to real Pokemon players.
Yeah, they're trying to, like, take them somewhere.
I think they're trying to, like, integrate them more fully into the Pokemon community, because the one thing okay, so Pokemon Go is a free game. At, like, the core of it, it's a free game. You can put money into it, right? Mm-hmm. And the type of people that do that versus the type of people like us, where we're just like, yeah, I'll pay $60 for this game. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll pay $120 for this game. By the end of it, we're probably all going to pay $240 for this game. It's fine. And so, like, we're all invested in that, right? And so we're also the same kind of people that go and buy 5 Wooloo plushes.
Mm-hmm. Only 5.
It's 6, right?
Anyway, 7. Plus 2.
7, okay. Well, they're like the bigger ones, right?
Yeah.
The 2? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I spent almost $200 on blue plush. Okay,
yes.
Fine.
But, you know, so, like, that's the difference. Like, so, like, we'll do that. Like, we'll buy the merch. The Pokemon Go players, I don't think, buy the merch like we do. Like, I think the best example of this is, this is semi-anecdotal, but I'm sure that if you ever go out and play Pokemon Go on, like, a community day, somebody else has a story about this, like I do. There's always somebody in at least my Pokemon Go community that will set up a stand on a community day at one of the larger parks and try to sell their own, like, homemade plushes or something.
Mm.
Or, like, knockoff Pokemon plushes. And these are, that's something that's not going to see, like, the Pokemon company's not going to see money from that.
No.
And, like, these are obviously, like, cheaper plushes and stuff like that. And I think the Pokemon company is having a hard time shifting people who are going to buy those kinds of plushes, which is typically, like, the core Pokemon Go community, to the Pokemon, like, to just, like, the Pokemon community, to the point where they'll buy 7 Wooloo plushes. I think they're having difficulty doing that. And that's why Go exists, because they're just like, we want people who play Pokemon Go to really like Pokemon as much as Thatch and Shamu and Sigma like Pokemon.
You know, it didn't make it into the news, but it turns out that in the first year of Pokemon Masters, it has become the second most profitable Pokemon mobile game. Not even close to the first, but, you know, that's a thing.
I mean, I believe that because the concept of Pokemon Masters is a good concept. I think at launch it was poorly executed.
Launch was bad, but I will say, too, also, like, the one thing they have going for them that makes people want to spend money are the rate. They're not terrible compared, like,
yeah.
Okay. So money per currency is bad unless they have sales, which they do, but compared to most gacha games, getting, like, a high-ranking unit is a 1% or 2% chance. Sometimes the higher ones, they have it. Like I think Fire Emblem Heroes has higher ranks sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But Masters, like, starts at, I think, 7%, and then they have 10% banners. Kind of often-ish.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but that's not only bad. For, like, the
and that's, like,
5-star 10% units?
Is not bad. So, essentially, you do a 10 roll. Most likely, one of those will be. Not always. It happens. But, like, one of those will be a 5-star, which is good. That's a good odd. That's worth. That's fairly worth
Unfortunately, the odds for specific ones are complete crap.
And, because they haven't lowered rarities. Too.
They haven't lowered rarities. So, every time they add new characters, the percent of just getting a certain character just goes down more and more.
Yeah, and that's partially the issue.
It's a problem that they need to fix at some point.
They'll most likely have to do something with, not like story lock them, but like lock them to a certain, like, here's a generic banner that has everyone that's not limited.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they'll have to just start limiting them on the main banners.
Cut off some of the earlier units from, like, the banners and have rerun banners that have the older units, something like that. But that's...
Yeah.
That's Masters news, and we don't talk about that in this segment.
The whole other topic.
All right, go to the blue. Go to the next thing.
Okay. So, we might get some news out of the Korea 2020 Invitational Championship, which would be today. Or no, tomorrow.
That's tomorrow, yeah.
But we won't...
Tomorrow as we're recording this.
Yeah, it's like...
2 days ago as you were listening.
We're recording the day before the tournament, so we... don't know what's going to happen, but they are giving away King's Rock, so it could easily be Galarian Slowking, because we should...
I could see it being Galarian Slowking.
Yeah. With a King's Rock, I think that's much more likely.
Mm-hmm.
Because just, it's the King's... Like, why would you give out a King's Rock? Why? What is the purpose of giving out a King's Rock?
In base Switch, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, but if you're doing it to tie it to something else, this would make sense. Unless they're going to go, oh, here's Galarian Politoed, even Slow though you got Politoed. Like, that's not...
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Exactly. And it's just like, it doesn't make sense with Slowking, because we know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they might use it to do a small... We might get a small trailer, too, with it. Just to get more in-depth, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll know by the time this episode comes out.
I thought the evolution method for Galarian Slowpoke to Galarian Slowbro was dumb. I'm not the only one, right? Like,
it was. I wish they had it more like the mushrooms in a way, and not just a random item on the ground.
I thought that one was kind of dumb because I think with this gen of regionals, they tried too hard to make so many of the regionals have really odd evolution methods.
They did.
Like, they tried to change the evolution methods. Like, I think the only normal ones are like Berserker.
People who got to play Shield had their Pokemon evolve in regular ways.
Yes.
People who had to play Sword had stupid things happen.
Yes, I will, because I think Yamask evolves really stupid. I think that having the Ice Stone for Darumaka to Darmanitan is stupid.
I think it's fine. It's kind of crazy that you can have level 1 Darmanitan, but...
I still think it's stupid, though, because, like, regular Darumaka just does it via level. Like, I'd feel better about it if that's how it became, like... If it was like a fire stone for it, like I'll even go on the limb and say, like, I think ice stone for Alolan Sandshrew is stupid too. But I think that was just stupid and pointless.
I think they just wanted another Pokemon to have an ice stone evolve and not make it.
Well, something else got it too. Doesn't something? Oh, Glaceon uses it now.
Glaceon has it now.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know, it was just kind of dumb. I think a lot of the ways that a lot of the regionals evolve, I guess Rapidash is fine.
Rapidash is level, Corsola is level.
Yes.
Mime, I think, is level. I'm not 100% sure on that.
I'm not 100% on that. But yes. Okay, moving on, though. Video game battling news. Season 6 started. Enjoy having not 16 Pokemon in the meta. We talked about this already.
It's nice. Cinderace is gone. Rillaboom's gone. Dragapult's gone.
Yes, yes. All of the things you hate are gone. And Magnezone. Everything you hate is gone, and Magnezone. I don't know why Magnezone's gone. Poor Magnezone.
He just kind of accidentally made it into
He walked into the room, and then, like, they locked the doors on him, and he's just like, what? I just walked in here. I didn't know what this was.
He's like a rank 10 to 12 Pokemon in singles, and that day he was unranked.
Yes.
10, so,
yes.
Oh, well. I guess Dracozolt gets to roll the singles for Matt.
Oh, okay. Move on to Pokemon Go, though. We're gonna speed through this because we like talking to each other too much.
Yeah. Okay. So Mega Red Mega Raid Challenge event is occurring until September 7th at 10 p.m. local time.
That's like the first Monday. Monday. That's when this comes out.
Okay. Well, you have till tonight.
So if you're not listening to this before 10 p.m., this news means nothing to you.
Yeah. Okay. But anyways, this is the first of three special events this month to promote Mega Evolution. If 2 million people complete, I believe, Mega Raids, we get Mega Pidgeot to come to the game. So yay, Pidgeot.
Yay. What an interesting... I like that they're going... They're definitely doing all of the Megas in Dex order. That's the way it appears.
It seems like it, I think. I mean... No, because Houndoom's coming soon, I think.
Oh, is Houndoom coming? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, they're adding Houndoom soon. Let's see. There's a special box that lets you get three remote raid passes for a coin, and you can purchase that all month. You can't purchase it if you have three in your inventory, though.
I don't.
You have two. If you have two, you can buy it.
Okay, so later this month, there's a Mega Battle Challenge, September 11th through the 17th, and if you complete 275 million battles, you will unlock Mega Houndoom. There's a Mega Energy and Field Tasks for Kanto Starters and Beedrill, and also a CP boost when using Mega Beedrill. There'll be increased spawns for various bug Pokemon and new shadow Pokemon. I like the bugs.
Yes, you do.
Ooh, a timed research that will reward player with a shiny Ledyba. Okay.
Is shiny Ledyba good?
I don't know, probably not.
No, I'm looking this like up. Yellow. Keep going, I'm gonna find out.
It's like yellow or green.
To the Mega Buddy Challenge, September 22nd through 28th. Oh, and there's also a timed research to unlock Mega Gengar during the Halloween event. Mega Evolution will last 12 hours. I'm not sure the mechanics on that exactly.
It's usually four.
Once you Mega Evolve, it actually lasts for a while.
It lasts three times as long.
That's cool.
Okay. Large Pokemon will spawn during this event, like Alolan Exeggutor, Snorlax, Furret for some reason, Wobbuffet, etc.
You've seen the plushes.
Furret's actually pretty big. Plushes.
It's like 6 feet.
Furret's long. It's just long.
We have the life-size plushes, we know.
And then Shiny Doduo will also be available during that event.
Shiny Ladyba is awful.
It is, report. But I'm going to go
to it. It's like orange instead of red. That's
yeah,
all.
It's fine.
I thought it was yellow.
I'm going to go for it. It's a bug. It's a shiny.
Okay.
I'll take it.
That's fair. Yeah, okay. Thank you for that. I don't really want to talk about any of this other Pokemon Go news. Cause
we already
boring.
Went over this.
I'm even going to say like the rest of it's not worth talking about.
Sure. It's Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
there's
Pokemon Go.
Evolution
million
mechanics,
podcasts for that.
There's another Flying Cup event at some point in the future, and then
and there'll
they
be a Spooky
have
Cup.
The Go Battle
there's a
Season
Spooky
League
Cup
thing
next season.
Four has been announced.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So I want to finish quickly with some Puckle news. So we're doing two things right now. We typically have been doing on the Discord. If you're not on the Discord, you should join it. By the way. On the Discord for July and August, we've been doing week-long giveaways, and like we'll put on Twitter like, hey, come over to the Discord and vote on like your favorite Pokemon that you want to see us give away. And we usually initiate these in various different ways. This month is a little bit different than typical. We are trying to hit a $950 stretch goal on Patreon to unlock it for this month. We don't know which week it is because we don't know when or if we'll hit that. But if you want to help push us over the edge, we really appreciate it. We're also giving away, Zarude and Celebi at the $10 and $5 tiers, like Zarude and shiny Celebi, I should say, at the $5 and $10 tiers. So if you're interested, feel free to jump on and do that and try to push us over $950 so that we can start giving away some Pokemans. Everybody, you don't have to be a patron to grab those, by the way. I want to make that clear because I know that question's coming. Do I have to be a patron to get the week of giveaways? No, you don't. But the patrons are the ones who unlock it, so you should thank them and kiss their feet.
And don't farm the giveaways, you know? Like,
don't farm
them. They're for everyone.
No. Yep. And then for $1,000, we're doing another stretch goal. Actually, the three of us are involved in planning the Puckle Fall League to follow up our Summer League. This is a first-time thing. We're going to be doing a double-style gym tournament like we did last time, and we're going to do all new badges for them and everything, and we want to make them pins, but we need to hit $1,000 on Patreon to be able to make that. In November, if you are a $15 patron or higher, you'll get a free set of badges. Yeah. However, if not, you can still buy them on Etsy for $20.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, our Etsy store is closed, by the way. Don't try to buy badges. It's over. You missed out on your Summer League badges.
They'll be back next year, probably.
Maybe.
If we had this year, we'll get the new ones, and then it'll reopen for these ones.
Yes.
But...
I don't even know if I'm going to put... I don't know if I'm going to put the Summer League up when we reopen Etsy. I haven't decided yet.
I was talking about the Fall League ones. I wasn't talking about the Summer League ones, exactly.
Oh, yeah. We'll reopen Etsy in November for Fall League badges, absolutely. On that note, though, I believe that is it for the news. We're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Today, Shamu and Sigma are going to be operating together as a team to answer five Pokemon-themed trivia questions provided to us by our listeners on our Discord server. You guys can submit them over there on the Trivia Submissions channel. Liger went ahead and compiled them for us, so thank him. I appreciate him. And we're going to go ahead and ask them. There's five of them. They have a possible total of 8 points today. Don't ask how. Things are getting complicated, but Thatch can keep track. They are in a race with their fellow co-host to 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. And if you submit questions, you get entered into a raffle for a $20 credit to AnimeGravy.com if you are in the United States. All right. Without further ado, though, let's break into it and see if Sigma and Shamu can answer our questions. So, do you guys want easy or hard for question number one?
Hard. Hard, yeah.
Hard? Okay. This is from Bowling from Bear. I didn't read this one, but the other one's easy, so I assume this one's hard. What is the first town in the mainline series of games not to be connected to another location by route or cave, yet not be an island?
So, first main town that's essentially not connected to any other area.
First town in a mainline series of games to not be connected by another location, route, or cave, and yet not be an island.
So now we're out, no cave.
Wouldn't that be Zootopolis? Wouldn't that fit the bill? Because not connected to a route, exactly?
I don't know. Do we count underwater as a cave?
I guess Zootopolis is an island.
Would you consider Zootopolis an island?
Yes. I'll be the judge and say yes, because that's not the answer I was given.
I feel like it might be the train city in Black and White.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what that thing's called, though.
Because it's not an island, and it's not connected to anything else.
Yeah.
I don't remember either, but it's the train city.
God. It has a name.
It does have a name.
I'm trying to think of anything else that might be before. Gen 1 has nothing.
I will accept the train city in Black and White as an answer, if it makes you feel better.
I don't remember its name.
The train town in Black and White is correct. The name is Anvil Town.
Right.
It is only accessible via the Battle Subway. You can't even fly to it.
Oh, okay.
The note that I was given by Liger on this is that it's a great town that they did nothing with. The story of Kalos in a nutshell.
Oh, not wrong.
You guys are one for one. You still have your hint as a lifeline. Our next question is from Skullmane Banky, and he wants to know, what is the only pseudo-legendary Pokemon not used by an Elite Four or champion in battle?
Would that be Komo? Well,
I feel like it's Komo.
Yeah, because Dragapult Leon uses, Dragonite Lance, Tyranitar... Who has Tyranitar?
So Tyranitar is used in rematches, I believe, which is the weird thing. In, I believe, Fire Red Leaf Green, round two, Blue uses one or something.
The Metagross is Steven.
Metagross is obvious. Salamence is obvious. Garchomp is obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Goodra is used by Diantha, so I think we're good.
I think someone has Hydreigon, to be honest. Because I don't know, I can't think of who has Komo-O. Like, I can't think of someone having Komo-O unless we're talking about Masters, but that's not, I don't think that's fitting the bill.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Komo. No one in its gen uses it, so.
Yeah.
Komo-O is correct. Dragonite by Lance, Tyranitar used by Blue in the Fire Red Leaf Green rematch.
Yeah.
Salamence used by Drake, Metagross used by Steven, Caitlyn, and Mulane. Garchomp used by Cynthia, Hydreigon used by Iris, Goodra used by Diantha, and Dragapult used by Leon. And the note, once again, by Liger is, I'm surprised they didn't give Hollow one in Sumo.
Right.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, the next question is your Pokedex entry question. I'm going to read you a Pokedex entry, and you need to tell me who that Pokemon is. If I feel like you are riding the Struggle Bus, I will give you a second Dex entry. If you get it correct without me giving you the hint, you get 2 points. If you get it correct after I give you the hint, that is 1 point. So, if you guys are ready, I am ready to give you the question.
I'm not ready for this, but let's go.
This one is from, oh my gosh. Okay, you guys are on Discord. You're going to get this right. This one is from Skookum. Oh, hi, Mark. And,
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, doggy.
It's Ultra Sun Pokedex entry states, it travels by digging through the ground. Diglett and this Pokemon share one another's tunnels happily. Who's that Pokemon?
Uh-oh. Is it Dugtrio? It can't be Dugtrio.
It's not Dugtrio, is it?
I think it is. I think it is Alolan Dugtrio.
He isn't giving us
The next Dex entry says, it's Crystal Pokedex entry states, it hides deep inside caves where no light ever reaches it, and it remains virtually motionless there.
Oh, it's Dunsparce.
Oh, it's Dunsparce.
Dunsparce is your final answer?
It's done. Yeah.
Dunsparce is correct. You guys only got 1 point for that, so you're 3 for 3.
I'm fine with that.
Fine.
All right. Our next question has multiple answers for up to 2 points today. It is going to be from Sleeve McDykel. There are 5 answers. I'm going to need 4 for 2 points, 2 for 1 point, and 3. If you get all 5, you get bragging rights. What are the 5 moves that have a perfect critical hit chance without added effects from abilities or multipliers?
Oh, so guaranteed crit?
So Wicked Blow, Surging Strikes?
Those are 2.
That's
Frost
2.
Frost Blast is another one. And
that's
is it
3.
Storm Throw?
Storm Throw.
Storm Throw is 4.
Storm Throw.
Yes.
And there's another one that guarantees a crit.
It doesn't matter. We got
it. It is Zippy Zap. You're not going to get it.
Oh, no. So, I would have never gotten that.
No. So, yes, that is correct. You guys got 2 points. You guys are officially 5 for 4. And you haven't used the hint yet today.
Rawr.
So good for you. So our next...
We're going for that Thwacky plush. We're going for it.
Our next question is your base stat question as always. This is from Stin246. What fully evolved starter Pokemon has the highest base stat total?
Fully evolved, highest BST.
Yes, we're going to ignore, we're also going to ignore Megas in this.
All right.
So we're not counting Silvally as a fully evolved starter.
No,
Pokemon.
It's a Silvally.
Grass Pledge, right? But it learns Grass Pledge. That's...
No, you're done.
It's a grass starter.
You're done.
We're also, I assume, not counting Naganadel.
You are done.
Is it Melmetal? Are we counting Melmetal?
Oh my gosh. It is
no,
a traditional starter.
Not a starter. It is a
I'm trying
is.
To help you. Okay. You can get 7 points today if you get this answer correct without the hint.
So what Pokemon...
I don't know starters that well, base stat-wise. Because it's probably a garbage starter, too.
Yeah.
That said, it's not Charizard because it would be a tie because it's tied with Typhlosion.
Okay, So what fully evolved starter is...
We might need to use the hint.
Yeah, I'm just trying to... I don't know this... I can't think of the base stats of them all.
It is a Gen 3 starter.
Oh, that...
That's your hint.
Doesn't help.
You're going for 6 today.
I think we're going to end up with 5. It's yeah. 1 in 3 chance.
Yeah, we're going to... I think we're ending with 5 here, because, like, they all are, like, tied to me. Like, I don't know if... Like,
It might be Sceptile because it has 3. Well, no, it might be Swampert. Swampert has like
no. I think stat, no. Right? I think it's Blaziken. Blaziken also has like a 120 and a 110.
Yeah, but it's only got 2 good stats. Its speed is still garbage.
Its speed is like
its
90,
speed's like 70,
it?
And its speed
is it 70.
Its defenses are crippled, and its HP is.
Its defenses are like 80.
Are they? Are they more than its speed? That's even sadder.
I'm gonna need an answer, guys. I'm gonna need an answer.
I don't. I'll let you.
I think it's Swampert because it's got good defenses and good offenses and good HP.
We'll say Swampert.
The answer is Swampert. Swampert has a base 535. In second place, it is a 4-way tie between Charizard, Typhlosion, Infernape, and Delphox.
I feel like we used a similar stat total to all the fire types.
Yes.
At least Cinderace isn't that high.
Yes. So that is correct. It is Swampert, though. So you guys got 6 points today. That does change up our leaderboard. Shamu, you are not in last place, if it makes you feel better.
Oh, that's fine. See, I assume the tally board reset at some point.
It reset a while ago, but like we have a nice mixture here. In first place, we have Sigma with 19 points. In second place, we have Claude9 with 15. In third place, we have P. Mickey with 14. In fourth place, we have Linian with 13. In fifth place, we have one, two, three, four-way tie between Whimsicott, Seth Bylo, Jushiro, and Dr. Shamu, all with 6 points. In ninth place, we have Sublime with 5. In 10th place, we have Basket with 5 as well. Oh, I guess ninth is a tie. So there we go. That is it for this week. If you want to tune in next week for more Poke Quiz, I guess do that. Until then, we're going to kick things on over to the topic. We've got another iTunes review this week from NYJets42. Just started listening to this, but I'm already in love with this podcast. Loving each and every one of the segments, and I'm learning a lot about something I thought I already knew a lot about already. Wanted to get back into the competitive scene. This is also really helpful. Keep going and being awesome. Well, thank you for that. If you would like to leave us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, we would really appreciate it. It helps more people find the show, helps us just grow and become a better community. But we're going to kick things on over to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is all the rage of Twitter. Are shinies too common these days? I think it depends on really what game you're in. It kind of almost mirrors our conversation we were having earlier about Pokemon Go players having like kind of a trouble like switching in to like the rest of the Pokemon community. Because we have had some Go players like make the jump. Like Joe Merrick on Twitter specifically said he thinks that it's a problem because Go players like get stupid entitled about shinies, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I hate reading Reddit after a community day or after like some event with a shiny because they'll be like, I caught blah, blah, blah number of Pokemon and not even a shiny. I think that is a dumb mentality.
If you go out for community day, I think it's okay to assume that you're going to get a shiny.
But the shiny rates are like stupid high for that. I swear they're like 1 in 10.
That's the only time I'm okay with it.
Well, somebody was like complaining about GoFest or something like that. I saw where they're like, I caught a shiny during GoFest. I caught a shiny Shadow Beldum. That was kind of cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. I purified it because I wanted a regular Metagross that was shiny. It's bad, but it's mine. I think my wife's is also bad, so I think we're going to trade and just let it reroll stats.
Not a bad plan in Go.
I think the entitlement that the Go community has for it is stupid. Some of them will, like, report the game if they don't get one sometimes. Like, Pokemon Go players in general, though, I think... I'm not talking about all Pokemon Go players, by the way. When I say Pokemon Go players and it sounds mean and you play Pokemon Go and you're going to be like, Thatch hates me. No, I don't probably hate you. I hate the kind of person who goes on Silph Road posting that like they pretended to have an issue in Pokemon Go and sent support a message and support like gave them free stuff in return. Like that's the kind of stuff I hate. I think there's an abuse of the reporting system. I think the mentality there is unhealthy. And I think some of the people who have made the jump have realized it's bad. This all really started, like, I think it kind of really comes not just from Pokemon Go, though, but from these, like, past 2 months where we've had, like, that weekend-long event where it's just like, hey, there increased spawns, and, like, there was a shiny Wailord, and we had, like, a shiny Magikarp event, and there what else did we have? There was one other thing that got really common.
Pikachu?
Pikachu. It wasn't exciting.
Yeah, here's Pikachu or whatever. I thought that was very cute. It is what it is.
Like, I'm okay with them doing events for it. I think the issue that happened was the manipulation of raids as a whole.
Like, that killed shinies for me this gen.
That's
like,
what did. Really? It's honestly what did kill shinies, I think, in the long run. Yeah, Go was on its way. Honestly, in-game, like, with how they are, like, cool, anyone can get it, but it's like, oh, it's also just not even, it's kind of insane how easy it is to do it.
Yeah.
It's so easy, I'm not interested in using that method. It's like, I RNG bred last generation. This seems easier, and no. I'm good.
Like, I wouldn't think they're overwhelming. It's just that the raids made them that way, because, like, oh yeah, the Wailord, the Magikarp, the Pikachu, those are all fine. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, those are the fine ones. I'm talking about, like, raid RNG, where it's like, oh yeah, I can calculate how many raids I need to get a shiny Pokemon to appear, and then all my friends can continue to catch it. And that made shinies very easy to get, easy accessible this generation.
Yeah.
Maybe too much so, but I don't know.
I think shiny Pokemon, one, I think they're losing their value, like, very much so, like, a lot.
Because okay, a lot of time has passed, and now more people are hunting them, and this is saying, too, like, the audience that is going after shinies is growing, and it's not like people are getting 400 of the same shiny for a they're trying to get, they're like, once you get a shiny, you're generally done, unless you get another one by random or something, or the reason to get another one.
I think it's really diluted, right? Because, I mean, if we go through the history of shiny Pokemon, in-game, not Pokemon Go or anything, but, like, it went from, like, a solid, like, 1 in 8,000 chance.
Mm-hmm.
They've added ways to improve it, like, in Gen 4, like, I think that was the first time we got, like, Poke Radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could control it a little bit, and one, like I said at the beginning of the show, I really like these skill-based things. I would say Poké Radar is like one of the hardest to learn.
Oh, it definitely is.
But I think having skill-based ways to like improve your shiny odds are the best shiny hunting methods. Somebody will disagree with me, and that's fine. But I think they are the best shiny hunting methods. Gen 5, I don't think Gen 5 did anything really cool, actually. They gave you the shiny charm. Shiny charm came in Gen 5.
I very much do like the a challenge behind it. Because it's like, yeah. Hey, you have to actually know how to do this to get to it. At least DexNav 2, you had to be able to chain to a degree.
I thought DexNav was the best middle ground for it.
It was easy, but it wasn't too hard. It wasn't too easy, you know?
Like, it was accessible enough.
That was where it was like, here's some minimal difficulty, but it's still, you can still like mess up because you had to sneak up on the Pokemon, right, in the grass. It was to the point where it was like, it's easy, but it's kind of stressful because like, what if you touch that circle pad a little too much? I still 100% believe DexNav is the epitome of shiny hunting. I will always believe that because like SOS hunting sucked. It's still better than whatever Sword and Shield gave us.
It was a boring process.
But also Gen 6 is the one where Gen 6 gave us Poké Radar back, which was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
It also gave us Chain Fishing, which was the easiest way to ever shiny hunt.
Isn't that when they doubled the odds too?
Yeah, they also doubled the odds. They just made them easier and easier. It's kind of like how they were making breeding easier and easier over the generations. And like now we're almost at the epitome of easiest thing ever. Breeding's almost not necessary.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I don't think breeding should be the gatekeeper of what who can play.
No. I don't think it should be. Yeah. I like breeding in general. I think like egg move should stay and stuff like that. And I think the way they do it with osmosis is great. So it's like, oh, I only need to breed this egg move once.
Mm-hmm.
I love that a lot. And like, I don't want to see breeding go. I don't know. Like, it's more of like a nostalgic thing. Like, at least leave it there as like a relic, like a vestige of older times.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice way to get moves onto a Pokemon that you don't want to be there for like a playthrough.
And as from a collector's point of view, I don't know. Like, I feel better about having bred Pokemon than just like having the ability to breed Pokemon than having to go catch them out in the wild, right? Mm-hmm. You do that really tough capture that's like a 1% capture or something. Like, I don't have to go find a second Ice Cube. I want to just breed my Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm. Easy way to share with friends who with version exclusives.
Back to shinies, I am disappointed that like the only way to do it is for Shamu to go run into 500 Wooloos. And then, or he can ride a bike.
Mm-hmm. Ride a bike. Maybe get odds. I'm on almost triple odds for that stupid Silicobra.
Oh, that sucks.
I don't care about Silicobra that much. I just want to get all the shiny G-Maxes because... I don't think G-Maxes are ever coming back, so I might as well get them now.
I 100% don't expect Dynamax to exist after Sword and Shield.
They don't have a category under forms in Pokemon Home. I'm not sure they're ever coming back.
I find
back.
That really odd, by the way.
Right?
Like, it's that's like, really
confusing. You have Megas, you have Shinies, it's like...
That just shows me that, like, Megas are still in, like, a different category, and makes me even more upset.
Such a weird decision.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, do you think shinies are too common? Like,
no. Well, in Pokemon Go, maybe.
Yes, I absolutely.
I think that's more of how people play Pokemon Go on community days than it is how they expect you to play. Because I love this extended community day thing where it's 6 hours and it's like, yeah, just show up for 2 hours of searching and you should get a shiny.
Yeah.
And you're fine. It's like, okay, cool. That's all I need. I don't care about the moves as much. I don't do the battling, so it's like whatever.
Yeah.
But it's nice to get the shiny. And yeah, I think you should, if you put in an hour or two in community day, you should be guaranteed. But when you're going all 6 hours and you're complaining about having 20 seed odds, you shouldn't have gone 6 hours.
Yeah, I always get really weirded out when people like at the end of community day are just like, here's a picture of like the 50 shinies I've caught.
Yeah, it's like in the old community days when it was only like 3 hours, I'd go out and there were a couple where I only got like 2 shinies right at the end. Like, like if you're going to invest time into community day, you should get a return and a shiny.
I see people who get like the 20 C-dots or whatever, right? And it's just like, but why?
It's like, you could have stopped. You could have stopped.
I just have like the questions of like, why? Why do people care about shinies so much? I mean, I get that they're different, and like some of them are cool.
Some of them are. Seedot is not, but some of them are cool.
I think Nuzleaf is a solid shiny.
I don't think Shiptree is very interesting.
No, it is not. Nuzleaf, though, pretty cool.
With the orange mask,
I think it actually just comes down to, like, a bragging right thing for some people. And yeah. Like, it's just, like, it's more of also, like, a medal of accomplishment in a way. It's like, I got this shiny. These are rare. I like this.
Yeah,
but the, and like I like shinies too to a degree. It's just like I'm hunting a Wooloo. It's like
You're doing the one that means something to you. You know,
it's just the fact that with Go has made them very common, and then also the raid. I think the raid again. I said it earlier. The manipulation of raids.
Oh,
while
yeah.
I think being able to do that is to get what you need is fine, but with the whole shiny aspect of it, it just ruins that. It's like shinies. Just
it ruins
don't
the value of the shiny. It's like whatever. Okay.
It's like everything you can get in Sword and Shield via raid is now just like, oh, those shinies don't matter. It's like the Ultra Wormholes. Those were like, oh, once we got these, it's just like,
yeah,
oh,
right?
The value of these shinies, Pokemon being shiny, are gone.
It became somebody getting like a Wonder Trade shiny. It's like, oh, it's probably hacked too. Oh, it's a Ludicolo. That was a Wormhole shiny.
Yep.
It's probably real.
Instead of like, I'm okay with the Wormholes, even though they ruin the value. It's just like, hey, here's a batch of Pokemon that are shiny. Yeah. Like the raids. I'm okay with getting almost essentially a guaranteed shiny during these like couple day raids. It's like community day in the actual games. You can farm these and get that thing shiny, which is fine.
Shinies used to be cool because they used to be so rare, and I just don't think they're that rare anymore.
What I could see them doing in the future, maybe not this gen. But, like, there's G-Max Soup now, where it's like, yeah, you can add a
Pokemon. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, at this point...
That's a Neopets paintbrush. Like...
So? I mean, at this point, why not? Make it so that the requirements are, like, you actually play the game. It's like, oh, doing online battles gives you 5 points towards this, or something like that. Stuff like that. It's like, you play the game, you get rewarded for playing the game, instead of running in circles. It's like...
So I don't mind Masuda Method. I think the problem with Masuda Method, more or less, has been the last two generations, that's been the best way to do it. I think that's it, because, like, Masuda Method I don't have a problem with. Like, because I think, what are the odds that on Masuda Method, like, the max, like,
1 in 512 or something with the...
I think that's perfectly fine to do that, but I think there should be an in-game way that takes some amount of skill... So that, like, because shiny hunters used to be really cool. Like, I would say back in Gen 6 when people were shiny hunting on Twitch.
When it was a skill pool thing.
It's when, like, it was a skill-based thing to do.
PokeRadar.
I think that was something that was more entertaining to watch on than, like, people doing SOS battles. And now watching people run around in circles on a bike.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you can run in circles real well. Good for you. It's like, oh, you're just repeating the same raid over and over again. Good for you. It's exciting, riveting gameplay here.
It's akin to almost like soft resetting for legendaries. But even then, like, that's a little bit more exciting than what it is now.
I really hope the special raids for the legendaries aren't easily manipulatable. Like,
well,
the current raids. Imagine if, like...
I'm sure it will happen.
I mean, they found a way to make the egg RNG, like, actually random this gen, so maybe they can make it so that the legendary raids, since they're a special thing, like, you have to go through an entire dungeon to get them, seemingly. So
I feel like you're not going to be able, like, you are going to have to save at the very beginning, and if you, like, turn it off during the middle, it's just going to
You're not going to be able to reset for shinies, and I'm not sure that you're going to be able to RNG for the shinies either.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they'll make it much harder if it is. It's going to be a lot more of a time sink if you can.
If the value of a shiny legendary, like, becomes nothing, that would be very sad.
Yeah.
The value of a legendary becomes...
Like, they're the last bastion.
I just think it's gotten to the point where shinies are too common. Like,
maybe,
personally. I think they're just too common because, like, I don't know. I used to feel, like, special, and maybe this is just, like, an age thing, and I'm becoming, you know, cynical. I don't know. Like, it used to be that, like, hey, I worked really hard to get this shiny. It would have been, like, it would have been really cool, like, to pull, like, a Pokemon I got from Dexnev and be able to bottle cap it, and then, you know, hidden ability capsule it and everything, and, like, make it competitive. I think that would have been a really cool concept. I think I would feel more from that than I do now, where, you know, it's just like, oh, this Discord just has shiny raids all the time.
I don't care about shinies that I don't breed at this point.
Yeah.
I
agree with you.
Or that are events.
If I don't find them myself or breed them by act, like, I don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll just use a regular one. I don't care. And that's what it became this
game. I agree. And like, it's such a shame too, because I think a lot of the cooler shinies came out in the last two gens.
It felt like they went more directed at yes. what the shiny's going to look like.
Because they actually cared about what this shiny's going to look like, as opposed to just being like, oh, it's a shiny. We swap color palettes. I think that's a really cool concept. Also, if they've been redoing all of the 3D models anyway, they should have redone shinies for the old Pokemon. I'm just throwing that out there.
Another thing I wouldn't be surprised of is if we get a new type of shiny, like a new palette swap shiny at some point.
That'd be cool.
I'd be okay with that, to be honest. Because like the whole square shiny thing was like, it really was.
That was wide. A mess.
I don't care about those at all. It's like good for the collectors.
What is the difference? I don't even know the difference. Who cares?
When they come out in the different pattern.
Wow. I believe events are like a square confetti pattern.
Yeah, it's like the little stars or glitter, whatever. Like, there's normal, which is stars, then there's like square shiny, which is squares.
Wow.
And that's the actual set of difference. What
so
the
exciting.
Effect is when they come out, or when they
yeah, riveting. Sparkle. I wouldn't be surprised if we get new variants of shinies going forward.
That's more likely, I think.
I think like the marks are kind of that step in that direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never seen one in the wild myself.
I like Pokemon with titles. That's
I cool. think those are really cool. I'm a fan of that.
I wish there was ways to get it on Pokemon you breed.
Yeah, that's true. I wish there were a way for Pokemon to earn titles.
I mean, there's ribbons, but the ribbons in the game are kind of meh.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
You have to go to old gens to get...
Yeah, they like go to the old names. Gens to get the cool ones, which is fine too, because it gives you a reason to play the old games to like bring Pokemon up, which I'm all on board for, by the way. Like, choo-choo, I'm there.
I wish there was a way to earn marks or something.
Okay, so like, as bad as this sounds, it'd be really cool if they kind of mimicked Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. You can become like the Bellsprout master by beating a Bellsprout with a Bellsprout. But, like, instead of you earning the title, like, the Pokemon earns the title. You know what I mean?
Like make that a mark?
You can call it, like, the veteran because it went through 100 battles at Battle Tower or whatever the equivalent is. Something like that. Like, I think that would be cool. Like, you got the title because you went through a battle facility with it. I'm not saying that's how you should do all of them, but, like, I think that's a start.
They already have battle facility ribbons.
Are you ready for Battle Frontier? Is that what I'm understanding? That's what I'm hearing.
Kind of. I think what we're getting kind of right now with the DLC is kind of a good middle ground, because we have Battle Tower, which is garbage. But then we got Restricted Sparring, which is essentially the equivalent of a battle facility in Battle Frontier.
It's kind of fun. I like it.
I like it. I think it's a fun little thing. I don't think Crown Tundra says they have anything like that planned.
They have the stupid double battles.
Oh, yeah, they have that. So, like, that's another facility. DLC Pack 2 can happen.
Maybe.
Nintendo employee that listens to this podcast, we can go ahead and get like two more battle facilities. Then we have five battle facilities, which is the equivalent of the Battle Frontier in Gen 4 and Gen 4, which I'm okay with.
I think that was a better sized one anyway, but you know.
No, having no battle facility, like nothing's going to beat the Emerald Battle Frontier.
I think you could have cut two of those facilities and been fine.
Yes,
especially absolutely. The Battle Palace. Down with the Battle Palace. No one liked that. No one liked having no control over your Pokemon.
Yes.
Bad.
Battle Frontier was an interesting concept.
Battle Factory, though.
Battle Factory was good enough that it was the only facility in both. Okay?
That should be a staple.
Battle Factory should be in every game all of the time.
It's a decent introduction to competitive, because it just gives you, like, half decent sets.
Yes.
And it's like, hey.
I'm so disappointed in how they ruined it on Ultra Sun and Moon.
Yes. Yeah, Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon tried, and they failed.
They tried.
They failed so bad.
It's like, what if you did better, you got higher leveled Pokemon, but you randomly find them in your square? So it's like, oh, it's a luck thing based on if you could find a high leveled Pokemon in your square. But no.
Yep. It tried so hard, but failed. Honestly, if they would just copy and paste all of the facilities from like Gen 4 every single time, I think I'd be okay.
They were solid facilities in Gen 4.
Yes, that is what I would like to see. Like, if we're going to do Battle Frontier with shiny Pokemon in them, I would really like to see that. I don't know. Like, the future, I can see them doing some cool things like that, though, where they might do, like, another type of shiny. Maybe not a shiny per se, but, like, something that's rare. And I think marks are, like I said, a good direction for that. Because, one, they are rare. The only problem with marks is, unlike shinies, there's no way to really manipulate it outside of, like, old Pokemon.
Well, even then, it's just getting the ribbons for the old Pokemon.
Yeah.
Getting actual marks is a challenge.
Getting the ribbons, though, I think is okay. I like that because it gives players like us who have been playing forever, like, hey, here's my old Pokemon that has this. And I think that's a really cool thing to have. Like, that's a really cool badge of honor.
Yeah.
And to be like, oh, I have this Pokemon from back then. stuff like that.
Like, I have an Azumarill from Auraz that went through all the contests, so it has the, like, contest star ribbon. So that's cool.
Yeah, this is a good place to end it. I think we all said our piece, and that shinies are too common, kind of. But I think our issue is a bit more with the obtaining of them in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a good place to stop. We're going to take a short break here, guys, and we're going to come back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Episode.
And welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 715, Noivern, the Soundwave Pokemon.
Although it has a violent disposition, if you give a nice ripe fruit that it loves, Noivern will suddenly become tame. That's from Ultra Sun.
Ultra Sun. Noivern is a dragon flying type Pokemon, or I should say flying dragon type Pokemon, because primary types are a thing for no reason. I mean, he's fast, base 123, just not as fast as another dragon boy, Dragapult, but he's gone for the next 2 months, so Noivern's coming out to play.
I want to say one little thing. Its German name is, like, jank.
What is it? What is it? What is it? What is it?
It's mixed between UHF, ultra high frequency, and Fafnir, but it's capital U, capital H,
oh!
A, capital F, and IR. It's
oh,
jank.
This is, I don't like it. I don't like
it's
it.
Jank.
Wow. They took liberties there.
They did, yeah.
Guys, let's make a name for it. Okay, but we did not make a good one.
You age up near.
All right, but yeah, Noivern's cool. This week we have a BSS team with it. It is a Noivern with the life orb. Infiltrator is the ability, because forget subs. 108 HP, 252 special attack, 148 speed. I assume the 148 speed is just fast enough for it to outrun anything it cares about.
I assume it's like base 100s or something. Yeah, I don't know. It's probably going to go big, probably clicks the airstream, it gets a plus speed, and who cares?
Exactly. And so who cares? And it's got a Draco Meteor, Hurricane, Flamethrower, and Super Fang. I love Super Fang on this, by the way. I love that tech.
Super Fang is good. I love it.
I love that tech.
Whatever it can't kill, it takes it to half.
Yes. Just hit anything. Primarina is also on this team with an Assault Vest because the Life Orb is in the hands of the Noivern. Torrent, this is like standard BSS like spread for Primarina, and I don't know what it does.
No clue. It speed creeps the speed creep.
Yes.
I don't know what else it's doing.
172 HP, 124 defense, 188 special attack, 4 special defense, 20 speed. Modest, Sparkling Aria, Moonblast, Energy Ball, and Aqua Jet, because it's Primarina, and it's doing Primarina things. But I'm going to let you guys go into, like, the actual cool stuff on this team. I'm sorry. Like, this is Noivern, the team, and then it's just like, nah, we got cooler stuff. So I don't know who wants the next two, but they can
I'll
have
take
them.
The next two.
Okay,
I'll take
okay.
Generic. Urshifu G-Max with Choice Band.
This is Dark Urshifu, by the way.
Yeah, Dark Urshifu with Max HP, Max Attack, 4 HP, Jolly Nature with Sucker Punch, Wicked Blow, Close Combat, U-Turn.
Yeah.
I want, oh, that's so tech, it's so spicy. Like,
I've never seen an Urshifu with those moves before.
Never in my life.
I don't know, U-Turn's a flex slot.
U-Turn's a flex slot, yes.
you're always going with the other three, but U-Turn's a flex slot.
Maybe you'll put Iron Head or Rock Slide there, who knows?
Ooh.
Aerial Ace, maybe you're a G-Max.
Ooh, Aerial Ace for G-Max, yeah.
But down to this pile of spice, you've got Galarian Darmanitan with the Choice Scarf. Who would have saw it? Gorilla Tactics. Max HP, Max Speed, 4 HP Jolly. Like, that's this is new. This is a new meta. With Flare Blitz, Earthquake, Icicle Crash, and U-Turn.
Okay, you tried to say the new meta thing as if it was ironic, but it only came back because everything's gone.
Oh, I'm aware, but it's like we've never seen this set. This is spicy tech. Like, It's never run these moves before.
I mean, it's just tried and true. Like, it's all you need if you're a Darmanitan.
I do like the thing about this meta is that, like, you can bring stuff back that was relevant, like, in base Swish that got rid of an Isle of Armor.
Dracovish.
We don't need Dracovish. But, yeah, I mean, I'm okay with, like, losing Rillaboom, okay? Like, new and
Cinderace got annoying.
Like, I'm okay with losing Cinderace, 1,000%.
It's like, Cinderace can sit in a corner till we get Landorus to come in on it.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Next up, we've got Dracozolt, which is the new number one Pokemon in the format because it's number 11. Yeah. It was 11 last season. And now the things that it didn't like are gone. So anyways, it's got an expert belt with hustle, max attack, max speed, because, you know, number one Pokemon in the format, you're going to end up with speed types. Mm-hmm. So let's just go as fast as we can go. Often's going to go big because hustle going big is a thing you just do.
Yeah, I believe it.
You got Bolt Beak because that's your signature move. It does massive damage. Aerial Ace because Max Airstream is stupid. And also, it can't miss. So when you when you're hustling, you're doing lots of damage.
Yes.
Outrage for the mirror. And then we've got Flamethrower. And I'm assuming the Flamethrower is there because sometimes Ferrothorn shows up. It clicks Iron Defense. And
yeah.
And it gets hard to break.
And you want to KO it. Yeah.
Flamethrower gets behind that.
I like that as the tech. I'm not mad about
it's
that.
It's a cute
I like that as the tech. Because, like, between the other three, you're probably hitting okay for neutral.
Yeah. I mean, that's your flex slot. It's like that low kick. So, sure. Let's go Flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
And last up, we got Diggersby with the Focus Sash and Huge Power, because if you're running Diggersby, you're running Huge Power. Max Attack, Max Speed, Jolly Nature. We got Quick Attack, Earthquake, Flail, because we have the Focus Sash, so it's a combo. And Dunk Shot, which I don't know what it hits in this meta, besides Primarina.
Azumarill.
Azumarill is a good one to hit, too.
Yeah.
So Azumarill, well, yeah, because you'll survive with the Focus Sash, and then you'll
I think it's
probably
also, it might
KO.
Be for Primarina, too.
Oh, yeah.
Primarina helps, too, yeah.
So yes.
There's a couple fairies still around that didn't get killed, so.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
for sure.
Diggersby.
Clefable. It's there for Clefable. If you like this team, you could probably watch P. McGee and Claude take on some teams with it over on YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. If not, you can use this team. It'll be posted as well on the Discord. So on that note, this is a good place to kick it on over, though, to everybody's favorite segment of the show, the mailbag. And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you send in emails to us here at the Puckle Podcast and at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. And we will probably read it on the show. And we'll take a look, especially if you have paragraphs. I'm just saying that paragraphs are very nice.
Bullet points work too. Bullet points work.
Bullet points aren't bad
either. Punctuation in general.
I that is true. Just like segmented, like so that there's breaks so that we can like interject and then continue reading. I really like having those. So I appreciate everybody who sent us in emails. If you have a good email that sparks good discussion, we will give you the Green Tauros badges. This segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves. Because Shamu's not going to say it.
You've learned.
All right. Last week, we gave you the prompt of what is it? What do you think about Mega Evolutions?
Sure. I don't know.
In Go or just in general? One of those two things. So let's go ahead and jump into it. The first one is going to be from Mega Flygon, and I believe Shamu has this one.
Yes, I do. Why, hello there, dum-dum Satch and Splendiferous co-host. I'm surprised you predicted that. Like, that's insane. Mega Flygon back once again for another mailbag question. Before I start, I would like to ask you a question. Which old mechanic besides Mega Evolution would you like to see come back? I would personally like the PokéNav to come back. It was such a cool feature that I had so much fun with that hasn't been even mentioned since Oras.
I was literally going to say DexNav, and then he read my mind, so I'm okay with it.
I was thinking Mega Evolution, but not I don't know.
No, he said other than Mega Evolution.
He said other than Mega.
That was a joke.
Not Z-moves.
Nobody would say Z-moves. Let's get it straight. Nobody would say Z-moves.
Yeah, like if you want Z-moves, you'd rather have Dynamax anyway.
I think Z-moves and Dynamax are cool mechanics that you can dispose of between generations.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know what mechanic I'd want. Well, I don't know if it's a mechanic, but just something to come back. The seal cases. I want those seal cases from Diamond and Pearl back.
That's true. We were talking about that.
I want them so badly, I would pay a premium.
Ooh, you know what I want? I want the poses from Sun and Moon.
Oh, those were cool.
I want the aesthetics back. We had so many cool little aesthetics here and there, and we just lost them.
Yeah, it's sad that we dropped the little things.
I think taking away any kind of customization is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
We've had three generations now of trainer customization, and I think one of the things that really sucks is they take away the old clothes and force us to only use the new clothes.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to grab some of the old clothes again. Alola literally has my actual closet in the game, you know, so...
I was going to say, Alola's clothing options were probably the most depressing for me.
Yes, I believe that.
Yeah.
I think some of them from X and Y were good, though, as well.
I thought X and Y had a solid selection. I think the ones this gen are better.
I do think Gen 8s are good. Don't get me wrong. I think they're good.
Very good overall selection.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I would like to still have, like, the options from the previous games. They exist, you know.
Mm-hmm. I like the Lurantis and the Komodo outfits, too. Those were good.
Yeah, that's true. Continue, though, Shamu.
Yeah. Now, on to the mailbag. I love Mega Evolution. I love how it gave some old, weak Pokemon like Mawile and, in my opinion, personally, Beedrill.
Yeah, both those are true.
It definitely had its flaws. It gave those weak Pokemon a boost, such as the Pseudo Legends getting Megas and the Legend that got them, too. But all in all, I think it was a great mechanic that I had a lot of fun with. Sadly, I don't think it's coming back because that would mean getting rid of Dynamax, which, like...
What? That's not true. They're not mutually exclusive whatsoever.
No, I don't know if they'll come back in Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
Because of Dynamax.
That's where I feel awkward. It's like, it might be the next game.
Yeah.
Where they just drop Dynamax and just have Megas or something like that.
I don't think Dynamax would be the reason that they don't come back. I think the reason they don't come back is because models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's another 40-something models.
Yeah, I think that's more of the issue than Dynamax, because they can play around with these mechanics any way they want. They can make it indiscriminately. Prime example I give for this is that Mega Rayquaza doesn't have to use a Mega Stone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it can have a held item, and you can give it in Sun and Moon. You can give it a Z-Crystal. However, if it Mega Evolves, it cannot use that Z-Crystal.
No, it replaces the Mega Evolution button with the Z-Crystal button, and it never comes back.
Yeah, it can't do both. It can only use one or the other. And I think it would be similar with Dynamax. Like, oh, you can Mega Evolve, but you can't Dynamax.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, song for the long email. Catch you on the flip-flop. Mega Flagon. I will say that wasn't the long email.
Yeah, but like back to that point, I think it would be interesting. Just like maybe if you do reinstitute Mega Evolution in the Dynamax world, if you're holding the Mega Stone, you just can't Dynamax. And then it becomes, that's like a real trade-off, I think, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real trade-off, being like, I'm going to sacrifice my flexibility to Dynamax.
Like, that's what they have in NetDex OU, I think, on Showdown. I think that's what they do, if I remember right.
Yeah.
They just like, you get like one or the other.
That's how I would handle it.
Have the Mega Energy interact poorly with the Dynamax energy, so you can't do it.
Very easy. Very easy.
That seems reasonable.
No problem. Can be handled. I think anybody that says it's just going to conflict is wrong. But thank you for that email, Mega Flygon. All right, our next email this week is going to be from the Bionic Why Not.
Greetings, cool trainer Thatch and co-hosts, whomever you are. I hope this email finds you well today. Well, on Monday, for me, I guess. But anyway, we will be talking about one of my favorite things in the Pokemon franchise, Mega Evolutions. I personally love them. A lot. Too much, maybe. Nah. It took old Pokemon and gave them new life, and either made them usable, more usable, or at the very least, made them look cooler. Sableye, my precious. A lot of my favorites are ones that the consensus of the fanbase simply just normally don't like as much. Sableye, Abomasnow, Charizard Y, Audino, you get it.
Charizard Y? What? People really just don't like Charizard number 2. Like, that's what I just heard.
Technically, it's Charizard number 3. I think Charizard X is number 2.
Oh, okay. Sure, whatever.
And Charizard X is just cooler. I feel bad for Y.
Is the Charizard number between 2 and 4? Oh, sorry, 2 and 5. Sorry.
I like Charizard Y better.
I like Battle-wise Charizard Y. I don't like the big cone head, if I'm going to be honest.
Charizard Y was like the original one that they like announced Mega Evolution with.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that one because I think Charizard Y was easier to be like, oh, I can see how we got there, right?
Yeah, but Charizard X has the blue flames with the black coloration.
I think the concept makes more sense with Charizard Y as like the poster child.
That's fair. I just like the design of X better. It's like all the cool parts of it.
It's making Charizard a dragon.
The black and blue coloration looks really cool. It does look Charizard. Good.
I prefer Charizard X.
We can agree to disagree. I like Y better than X.
It won't die from ancient power. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I don't care. All right.
Anyways, I haven't really liked the new gimmicks of the 7th and 8th generations. Z-moves were there, I guess. Dynamaxing just, in my humble opinion, sucked. Gigantamaxing, though, that was cool. I thought the getting new forms was something that happened to all Pokemon at first. But then I realized, nope, there's some from Gen 1, Gen 8, and Garbodor.
I don't understand. Like, I hate that it's just Gen 1, Gen 8, and Garbodor, by the way. Like, I don't know how they mess that up every time. Like, the fan base clearly says every time, it's just like, why is it just always this?
I will say, making Garb Gigantamax made me actually like the trash Pokemon for once. Like, that was a Pokemon I absolutely hated that line.
Yes.
Gigantamax made it, like, redeemed it for me completely.
Yes.
It's really weird. I feel like maybe they were going to, and then they realized, oh, well, this mechanic's never staying. This might be too broken.
I wonder. You're probably not wrong.
It's amazing that Tyranitar and Lucario were used for marketing and they didn't get Gigantamaxes.
Right.
Or Gardevoir's in the game and didn't get a Gigantamax. Like, I don't know how that happens unless they were really strapped for time and just couldn't design them or model them in game or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, let's continue on. We're almost done. I've always liked new forms for Pokemon, except for Mewtwo. It is a synthetic. It shouldn't be allowed to have its own magical rock, let alone two.
That's fair.
It is. It's like, oh, it's a Pokemon that was created in the last 25 years or something. Mm-hmm. Like, how does it have an ancient magic rock that happened to have been made from a war?
No, they're not ancient magic rocks. They're rocks that, well, I guess it is ancient. Never mind. You're right.
It's either from primal energy or the 3,000-year-old.
Yep, the 3,000-year-old laser.
Yeah, and yet somehow Mewtwo has both of them.
Yep.
Whatever. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. That's fine. It's Mewtwo.
What if they're, like, distorted ones from, like, Mew, though, right? Like,
maybe.
What if it's, like, a rock that would have worked with Mew, but it was slightly off, so it doesn't? You know what I mean?
I've always wished they explored the Pokken lore more and, like, what Shadow Mewtwo is to Mega Evolution.
Oh, that'd be cool. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Right? But anyway. In my own region, I have tons of Megas for new and old Pokemon, Pokemon of my design, and even ones of my sister's designs. It coming to Pokemon Go has really changed how I played. Plus, my shiny Beedrill has been kicking butt. I don't have a lot of time to write, so I have to sign off. So for Bionic Why Not, it's closing time. Bye, guys. P.S. I'm still waiting for my Puckle Stress Cows and early inside joke. Which we did have, like, stress flip-flops at one point.
We had flip-flops for a little bit for Patreon.
I have one sitting around somewhere.
I had two cows, because the cows are kind of expensive. But, let's see.
I think at this point, the meme...
I'm glad he's having fun playing with Mega Beedrill in Pokemon Go.
To be fair, Beedrill's, like, easy to get candy for.
Yeah,
like,
that's true. Yeah,
you get it for the quest, and then...
Mm-hmm.
Mega evolving it is pretty easy too.
There was a Weedle community day recently too, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That's why their shiny was so common.
Yeah.
All right. So our final email today is going to be from Trainer Nova. Trainer Nova here. After hearing your last episode on Mega Evolution, I thought I would keep this email short as I can and simply list an assortment of thoughts I had on the topic. Out of all the battle gimmicks that Game Freak has implemented so far, Mega Evolution is probably at least the most intuitive and marketable one in my opinion. It's straightforward concept to the general public. Pokemon get a super mode compared to Dynamax. It's, it's more like Pokemon or Digimon, but we can talk about that another day. Which have a lot of moving parts. It makes sense why it's still marketed in other media so much, as it's easier to implement. I think trying to compare designs for Mega Evolution to Gigantamax forms is like comparing apples to oranges, and I appreciate them both for their own things. I think that Megas try to add something to the Pokemon, while Gigantamax forms just take the core concept of the Pokemon and crank it up to ridiculous levels. Kind of.
Some of them are really meme-y designs, like Orbeetle.
Yeah.
Oh, Orbeetle.
It is, like, ridiculous. I agree with you. I wouldn't go... It was somewhere in between the Mega Evolution you described and the Dynamax you described. It's, like, a little bit lower, I think. I would like to see Megas make a return because it was a good concept that just had to be refined. Sadly, I see Game Freak already going down the path of new gimmick every gen, because what's more climactic, saying we're bringing back an old mechanic or check out this new gimmick. However, I can see Mega Evolutions making a comeback in the core games if they revise some aspects. Kept the core concept, then re-released it saying here's the new and improved Mega Evolution. Not sure what they would revise, maybe they would implement a turn limit or add a feature or something. It would be enough to shake up the game and maybe fix some issues Megas had. I think Megas were fine.
I think they were too. Maybe some Pokemon didn't need them that got them.
Yes, that is my only answer. They're just like, hey, you know what's great? We can market Metagross.
Yeah, I was going to say, they may have over-specialized Salamence and Metagross to the point where it's disgusting, but you know.
Yes, both of those are awful. A wish list for Megas off the top of my head, the obvious Flygon, Sinnoh starters, Roserade, and maybe Haxorus, if it doesn't make it too OP. Unova needs some love too. I think this is also one of the big things. Megas did, outside of Gigantamax, like, Gigantamax forms really bother me, because the only thing you get with the form is, like, one new move.
Mm-hmm.
that does like something slightly different. And the word's different. It's not better. It's not always better. It's just different.
And it's just like, we're going to fill an aspect here. Like, yeah. We haven't had one that burns yet. Here, you get a guaranteed burn.
Mm-hmm. And like when you mega evolve, you get like boosted stats. And I think that's something different.
Or an ability. Like you get abilities too, which is always helpful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Copperajah has two useless abilities when you Gigantamax, so oops.
Like, oh, now Copperajah mega evolves into whatever and it gets attacked that puts stealth rocks up for like maybe an ability that makes it, if you use a steel type move, you set up steel type stealth rocks.
You could, like, if it's in like a future gen or something, you kind of give it the Komo-O treatment where they took Komo-O's Z move and just made it the regular move.
Yeah. Mm. And that might happen
too. You could take Copperajah's Gigantamax move and just make it a move.
I mean, I think it would be cool to have it where Omega gets a signature move. That would be an interesting way to take it for some things.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that as much, personally.
Yeah, it's not as exciting, but I think it could be cool.
You can make it along the Zacian thing, like Ironhead turns to Behemoth Bash or Behemoth Slat, whatever.
Yeah, things like that. Or Ultra Necrozma's, I think. Or was that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was another Pokemon that had a form that changed the move or something. I don't remember it though.
That's all for today. Hope I kept it short. Thanks for the wonderful podcast and catch you on the flip-flop, Trainer Nova. Well, thank you for that. If you want to email us next week, email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, letting us know if you think shinies are too common. We really want to hear from you guys. And I guess Green Taurus Bash this week. Who'd you like the best?
I'm between Nova and Bionic. Why not?
I like Nova better.
Okay, sure.
Nova it is. Nova, you get the Green Tourist Badge if you come and bug somebody on the Discord about it. All right. On that note, we are going to go ahead and end the show. I appreciate everybody for listening. But if you want to keep up with Puckle, like I said, you should come to the Discord. Link is in the show notes. We don't have enough Nitro Boost to get the cool discord.gg/PucklePodcast. But if you want to do that, we'd appreciate it. you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr. If you so desire to follow us on social media throughout the week, I think Twitter's the most active out of all of those.
Sure.
So yeah, definitely. Maybe.
I don't know. I haven't been updating it as much as I should.
You can also go to YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast to catch up with Cloud9 and PMickey. And then one day I will finish that Nuzlocke, probably later this month. And then we can hopefully start the next one. I want to start the next one.
I'm excited for Gen 2 Remake.
I am not. That one takes so much grinding.
Only if things die.
So much grinding. So much grinding. And so I'm very excited to do that. But you can also go to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast to watch a stream, live battles, raid nights, everything. It's the bee's knees. You can support the show monetarily over on Twitch by dropping us a free Twitch Prime subscription. We always really appreciate that. You can always go ahead, though, and go over to a TeePublic store, pick up a t-shirt. Everything you buy there, the link's in the show notes, helps support the show. You can also go ahead and support us on Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast to get access to the giveaways this month. We're doing Zarud and Celebi for the patrons. And also, we have that $950 stretch goal to hit so we can do a week worth of giveaways for the community. Be that person that's awesome and pushes us over the edge so that all of the people on the Discord server can thank you and kiss your feet. All right. On that note, though, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Shamu.
And I've been Arsene.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
It's closing time in Lavender Town. Time to say our goodbyes. It's closing time. Catch you on the flip side.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.